Praise the Lord. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good. We welcome you to Marbleton Free Will Baptist Church, and so thankful to have each and every one that's here today. And boy, I tell you, if that song don't get you fired up, your wood's wet. Wow. Worship His Majesty this morning. I hope we've come prepared to worship His Majesty and to glorify Him and exalt Him today. It don't matter nothing about us. It's about Him. And we've come to exalt Him and worship Him today. And I'm so thankful for the opportunity to do this. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your blessings, Your goodness, Your mercy and grace. Father, I'm so thankful that we can call upon You, and I'm so thankful that You're in control. I'm thankful there's nothing happens that don't filter through Your hand. And I'm so thankful to be one of the number. I'm thankful my name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thankful for the night that You moved upon my heart and I turned my life over to You. Thankful, Lord, for all the blessings of life that You've bestowed upon us. I thank You for being a citizen of the United States of America. And Lord, that I'm just thankful today, just God, how good You are to us and how blessed we are. And Father, just praise Your holy name. Worship the majesty of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, we do thank You for Your blessings. And Lord, I ask You to take this service and to use it according to Your will. Father, that just invite the sweet Holy Spirit to be in control of this service. Have Your way in this service. And forgive us where we fail You. I pray You touch the old preacher boy and anoint him. Lord, that You'd just have Your way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So thankful for each and every one that's here. And as we come, hadn't got together and talked about our Sunday evening services yet, but we'll continue this way and for a little bit, and then we'll talk soon about when we'll open up more. But we're trying to follow our guidelines and do the things the right way. And but before the message this morning, I want us to go to the Lord in prayer. And have any special requests this morning? I want to mention Sister Kathy. I talked to her, and she's not doing very well. She's had a rough few days. And do continue to remember JD. He needs your prayers. Yesterday was a few days, but yesterday was a rough day on him. And, so remember him. Remember our families and our unspoken requests. Yes, Christy is going to have chemo this upcoming week. I talked to Calvin, and so remember Christy. Keep her in prayer also. Is there any other request? Remember our nation.
Yes.
Yes. Amen. This will be all. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for this day. Thank You for Your goodness, Your blessings. Now, Father, your word says for us to come boldly before the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy, and let our petitions be made known unto you. And Father, we just come and we just lay these requests at your feet. And you know far greater than we could ever think or ask how to answer each one. You know what's around the next curve and over the next hill. Father, we trust you with these requests today. We lay them down, and God, we pray you'll just look over them, filter through them with your will. Lord, that you'd answer according to your perfect will. The ones sick and afflicted, and Father, that everything we're going through and every unspoken request that we have today, and Father, most of us have many. And Lord, we're so thankful that you know about those requests. We're so thankful that you're on the throne and you see all and you know all. God, that's who we've come to. That's who we've brought our petitions to today, is the God of the universe. And Lord, and I'm so thankful that I can. I'm so thankful your word encourages me to. I'm so thankful for the privilege of prayer to be able to come and speak to you. And Father, we do pray for our nation today and ask you, Lord, for peace. We pray that you'd send peace. And Lord, we know that only true peace comes through Jesus Christ. And Lord, that we ask you for revival across America. We pray, God, that our leaders of the nation will be on their face before you seeking your wisdom. The leaders of our states will be on their face before you seeking wisdom. Our local leaders will be seeking wisdom from up on high. And Lord, that we as a church and individuals will ask you for wisdom and guidance. And Lord, that we need a touch from up on high. We need a touch. And God, we ask you to help us to get in our place in to where you can bless us, and we could be a nation, Lord, that can be blessed of you. Lord, you have blessed us so much, and we're so thankful. We need you just now. Lord, we pray for this service. I ask you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that you just touch me and forgive me of my sins. Anything that hinder me, Lord, remove it. Illuminate my thinking. Lord, touch my vocabulary. And Lord, Jed, and God, I pray for your direction. I pray for your touch. I pray you'll speak to us out of your word today. Lord, that you'll have something for us. And when we leave, we'll leave better than we came in. We'll leave excited to serve you more as we go out than when we came in. We'll have a greater testimony upon our heart and, Lord, a song on our lips and a desire to tell the world that there's a Jesus that'll save them. Lord, help us today and guide us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. We're going to have to get back to normal. I always say you can be seated. Old habits are hard to break. If you have your Bibles this morning, and I've got fired up. I'm ready to preach. before the message, Sister Donna's going to come and share with us. Thank you, Gary.
God is so good to me.
So good to me.
Yes, he is good to me. so good, so good. He's so good to me.
God's so good to me.
Coming from heaven to dishonor and scorn, Christ in a manger so lowly was born. He took on himself the sins of the world that we might be free. As on the cross Jesus suffered and died, Father, forgive them, in sorrow he cried. Then he gave all, yes, all, to save you and me,
oh yes.
God is so good to me,
so good to me.
Yes, he is good to me,
so good to me.
God is so good. God is so good to me,
so good to me.
Yes, he is good to me,
so good to me.
God is so good, so good. He's so good to me,
oh yes.
Yes, he is good to me,
so good to me.
God is so good to me,
so good to me.
God is so good, so good. He's so good to me.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Does anyone else have anything on your heart? I was geared up there a minute ago, but I don't want to get ahead of the Lord. If God's laid anything on your heart, that's the route we want to go. Praise the Lord. If you want to turn with me, turn to Psalm 123. I want to read Psalm 123, and then we'll be looking at Psalm 120, 121, 122, and 123. We're going to look at a verse. These are the songs of degrees, and there is actually, they run from, there's 15 psalms from 120 to 134, and you know, the origin of these is was to be sung by folks when they were ascending or going to Jerusalem to attend the temple or the tabernacle to worship. And this was a command from God told them from Deuteronomy 16:16 that three times a year all the males would appear before God in a place that he had chosen. So they think these were songs that they would sing on their way as they were ascending to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. And I have today the message is really, I guess you could say, an outline from Charles Spurgeon, his commentary on Psalms, the notes of ascending that was Lincoln verses 120, chapters 120 through 123. And I kind of, from that outline, but I want to share with you the message this morning. Where are you looking? Where are you looking? And, you know, I've seen this. I found that it said that a tourist goes to the Grand Canyon and leans over the edge and falls. He catches a branch of a scrub brush and hangs on for dear life. He calls for help, and a hooded figure looms above. Says, I'll help you. He says, great, the man replies. Who are ye? I am the Lord, the figure says. Just let go of the limb and you'll be saved. The man looks down at the chasm below and looks back to the hooded figure above and calls, is there anyone else up there? He was looking down instead of up. He was looking at the circumstances instead of the answer. And I think we do that a lot in the world today. We look at the problems around us, and Israel was looking at the giant instead of looking to God. And so often that we look at the problem, or we look at the situations and we look at things, and you have to say that we're in a very trying time right now. We have come through a phenomenal, I'd never seen, and we're still in it, a pandemic and the uprising, the things that we're dealing with now as a nation. And I really, in all honesty, in my opinion, I don't think it's going to stop anytime soon. It's going to continue as long as we stay in the world. The Bible tells us that we're going to be troubles, and there's going to be hard times, there's going to be trials, and all of these things. And so I'm asking you today, where are we looking? And if we're looking upon the situations and we're looking to man, we're in a whole heap of trouble. And I want to share these verses with, if you would stand with me, I'll read Psalm 123, and then we'll go, we'll touch on these others. But unto thee lift up, 23, verse 1, unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look into the hand of their masters, as the eyes of a maiden look unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us. O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for your blessings. Lord, I ask you now for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God, that you'd give me the words to say, and I'd say everything you want me to and not more. Lord, and I pray, God, for the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I pray for the anointing of God. And I pray, Lord, that you'd touch this church and you'd encourage us and help us to look to you and keep our eyes where they ought to be. And Lord, I pray for our nation as whole that we would look to you. I pray, Lord, that each and every one, God, around the world, that we'd be looking to you and get our eyes off of man and off of the things of the world and the things of the flesh. And Lord, that we'd search out the unsearchable riches of glory. God, that we'd look to you for the wisdom and divine sanction and the unction of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, we pray for your touch. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I can say it now, can you? Where are you looking? See, we see here in these four Psalms that the psalmist was looking in the right place. And in chapter 120 and verse 1, he said, "In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me." See, he looks up from despair. The psalmist looks up from despair. See, he knowed that he was in a mess, and he had to look somewhere else. And the Bible said that here, that in my distress, or in my trouble, in my tribulations, in the trials that I'm going through, in the hardships that I'm dealing with, in my despair, I look unto the Lord. I'm a looking at that. He said here that he's looking unto the Lord, and I like that part of that verse. He says, and he heard me. I'm so thankful today that I don't just look and I don't just talk to a wall or to a shrine somewhere, but I'm talking to someone that hears me. I'm talking to someone that made the rocks, what made out of a rock. I'm talking to someone that made the wood, that what made out of wood. I'm talking about Almighty God of the universe that said, "Let there be light," and there was light. That's who I want to be talking to today. Amen. I don't want to talk to a man. I don't want to talk to a person. I don't want to talk to... I want to talk to Almighty God that'll hear me and that'll answer me. Praise his name. See, I'm not sure of the situation in these Psalms. It could have been the Babylonian captivity, or when Nehemiah was building the walls back, or there's several different situations it could have been. But it don't matter. But I'm thinking today, and I want to apply it to us, how many of us and how many folks around the world today are in distress? How many's in trouble? How many's in tribulation? How many's in trials? The world's full of trouble, isn't it? The book of Job said man's born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And we are full of distress and troubles. And here, and I want to say in this verse, but one of the keys is when we realize that we're in trouble, that's when we'll start looking for help. It's when we realize we've got a problem. If you go through Manhattan, but if you go through AA or this counseling, one of the first things to recovery, they say, is you admit that you got a problem. You have to know that you've got a problem before you can get any help. And here today that America and our world needs to realize we've got a problem. We've got a sin problem. We've got a pride problem. We've got things that we deal with. We've got problems, and it's time that we own our sins. It's time that we own what we have done and who we are. And that we realize we got a problem. The Bible says there's none of us righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Our righteousness is filthy rags in the sight of God. We're in a sad shape as humans. Now, a lot of people probably wouldn't like this kind of preaching. We can puff ourselves up. Amen. I worked with a guy years ago. He was a preacher of the gospel. He didn't sin anymore. But Todd, I can't say it. I'm still a man. I wish I could say, boy, I'm above sin, but I'm not. I still mess up. I still struggle. I still deal with things just like everybody else does. But I realize that I am in trouble, and I am a human, and I'm going to continue to mess up, and I've got to call upon one that's never messed up. I call upon the one that's got it all figured out. He's got every answer. He knows the answer to everything that arises. Why don't we ask him? Why don't we go to him? Why do we not pick his brain? I don't know about you, but if I'm ever around somebody that really excels in a specific thing, I'll pick that person's brain. I guarantee you, they get tired. I wish that guy would leave me alone. I want to know how they're doing so good and what decisions they're making and how they go about it. And if God's got all the answers, why are we not picking his brain? Why are we not... Law, where's that Tim again? He's going to want to know how I make the sun come up every morning. Amen. We ought to be on our face and seeking his wisdom and his guidance and his knowledge in things. I know I can say this and truthfully say this, that we as a church, the church board and the leaders of this church, we didn't take this COVID-19 lightly. We have prayed. We sought God's face. We've asked him for wisdom. We've asked him to lead us and help us to do the right thing. And that's the way at everything that we come up on, we ought to be seeking God. He said, I cried unto the Lord. I cried unto Jehovah, or I cried unto Yahweh, the supreme God of the universe. So I'm afraid so often we forget that. He is the eternal existing God. I don't know about you, but my mind, and I've accepted it by faith, but to never have a beginning... That's over my head. Now, the never ending, I can kind of, yeah, okay, I can see that. But to never have a beginning, you always have been. I wish I could explain that to you. But I accept it by faith. The God said, his word said it. And it don't matter if I believe it or not, that settles it. Amen. And he said it, and the one that has never had a beginning, ought we not let him handle the problems? Ought we not get wisdom and guidance from him? Let's pick his brain a while. If I don't go on, we'll be here all day. He looks up from the sparrow. This psalmist also in chapter 121, it says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Not only we see that he looks up from despair, he looks into the hills. And the Bible says here that he looks into the hills from whence cometh my help. I'm thankful. You know, not only does he hear us, not only does he answer us, but he helps us. I'm thankful. For that, there's been situations in my life that if it hadn't been for the Lord, I'd have been overcompassed about with the waves. I'd have been done under, tucked and washed away. But he has intervened in my life more than once. He has come, and when I've called upon him, he's answered my prayers, and he's tucked me up and brushed me off and put me back up on my feet and said, get back in there. You're doing all right. Glory, hallelujah. Aren't you glad of those times? See, I want you to notice first that he says, I lift up mine eyes. I lift up mine eyes. What he's saying, he said, I quit looking at the situations. I quit looking inward. I quit looking at me. I quit looking at others. I quit looking to somebody else. I've quit looking at my distresses. I've quit looking at my inadequacy. I quit looking at the things of the world. I've quit looking at the desires of the flesh. I've quit looking to Satan. I've quit looking. I've cut my eyes off of everything else, and I'm turning them to the Lord. I'm putting them up on Him. I'm going to keep Him in view. I'm going to block everything else out. We need kind of like the old farm mules on them. They'd put blinders on them to keep them from looking. I tell you this morning, we need blinders on to keep us from being distracted of the things of the world and keep our eyes on Almighty God. He said, I look unto the hills. And when you look into the hills, I don't think that he was talking about the mountains around Judea and in that area. I'm not talking about looking Buffalo Mountain or some of these others. He was probably referring to the hills of Moriah and Zion, where the Ark of God was. When they looked to these hills, it screamed out with God's presence. This is where the presence of God, this is where they kept the Ark of the Covenant, the Shekinah glory of God. And he said, I'm looking to the glory of God. I'm looking to the presence of God. I'm not looking to a man. I'm not looking to a committee. I'm not looking for somebody else. I'm going straight to the throne of God, the one that's got it all figured out, and that's who I'm looking to. See, where the Ark of God and His symbol, where His presence was and is, when we lift up our eyes in prayer to Him, is when we start getting in the right place. And not only do we look up in prayer, we look up in faith, knowing and believing and trusting Him for who He is. I won't ask a show of hands, but I want to ask you this morning, how many has trusted the Lord and asked Him to come into their heart and forgive them of their sins? That is the number one thing that we're to take care of, is the condition of our soul. How important is our soul? The most important thing that you possess is your soul, and it's going to live on somewhere. And if we trust God with our salvation, shouldn't we trust Him with everything else? Why is it that we think we can handle these other things? Am I the only one? I don't know if I think that I'm that good, or I just hate to bother God or whatever, but we just take, oh, I've got this. And then when I get in a mess and in trouble, I have to go right back, Lord, will you help me? Lord, will you intervene? Will you get me out of this mess one more time? And wouldn't I have been better off to went to Him first? Wouldn't I have been better off to look to His presence and His guidance and His direction? And said, Lord, you direct me, you guide my steps, instead of, Lord, get me out of this mess and then guide my steps. Amen. In Psalm 118 and verse 8, the Bible says, now I've got a little thing, and we've heard that they say this is the middle center of the Bible. That it's about the same amount of verses before, about the same amount after. The chapter before, I think, is the shortest in the Bible. The chapter after is the longest chapter in the Bible. And they say this verse right here is the center of the Bible. And if we look at the center of the Bible, I'd say it's got a message, wouldn't you? It says, it is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in man. Amen. Amen. I think that may be the theme of the whole Bible. It's right there in one verse. Put confidence in God. Don't trust man. I'm telling you, man will let you down. Man will fail you. Man, you'll come up short. even I'm talking to myself. If you look to me, I'll let you down. I'm going to try my best not to. I'm going to try my best to do what I say and do everything right, but I'm a human. I still fall short of the glory of God. If you want the right one to follow, follow Jesus. Amen. Not only does he look up from his despair, he looks up to the hills. In chapter 122, it says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He looks to the house of the Lord. I rejoiced when they said, let's go into the house of the Lord. In Psalm 84, I have preached a message out of Psalm 84 to shut-ins and ones in nursing homes quite often. Let me read you a few verses here. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fanteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house and a swallow, a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. I believe it was Wednesday evening after the service and we was out on, and I first time I'd noticed it, but if you go out the door straight back and you look up to the left of that column, there's a bird's nest right on the edge of the brick at the top of it. And when I seen that bird's nest, my mind went to this verse automatically. The psalmist here, for some reason, was not being able to go to the house of the Lord. He was longing to get to the house of the Lord. And he said, even birds get to build their nest at the Lord's house. Even the swallows get to, and I don't get to go. And he was kind, but he said, boy, how blessed the birds are. How blessed the things are that's at the house of the Lord. And I think that today we have seen through this COVID-19, how many of us has missed being in the house of the Lord? Everyone's going online and doing so many things to get, and I don't know how many times they say, well, preacher, you've done a good job, but it ain't like being there. It ain't like being together. There's just something about being together as a family of God, isn't it? I wouldn't want to have a family reunion online, would you? I guarantee you, the fried chicken wouldn't taste near as good. And when we come and able to come to the house of the Lord, we need to get together. See, this is where we draw our strength. I mean, we get all of our nourishment out of the Word of God, but we encourage one another. I tell you, a smile goes a long way. Amen? A smile and a good word and brother and sister. I love to hear brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so and these words and how encouraging it is for us to be together and encourage one another. You might say, preacher, we're in the middle of a pandemic. I know. But we'll get back. And when we things come back up, go ahead and invite folks. Go ahead and let's this fellowship is phenomenal. In Hebrews 10:25, the Bible says that not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I tell you, if we have never ever needed exhorting, it's today. I can see the day approaching, Brother J.M. I can see the time drawing near, and we need the encouragement. And I'm not talking, when I'm saying the church and we come and we build fellowship here, but the church is not the brick and mortar that surrounds us. The church is sitting in the pews. The church is the ones, is the children of God that's been redeemed and been born again, and the name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus ain't coming back to call the church buildings out. He's coming back to call his bride out. Glory, hallelujah. Now, don't get me wrong, I love church. But and that this is where we encourage one another. I miss it when I don't get to come to church. Can I share? I want to share something. We don't tell nobody this. We block that off, man. I get mean when I don't come to church. Not to say the amen. I need the fellowship of the brothers and sisters in Christ. And we encourage one another. You know, I think it's a thing of accountability. You know, they say everybody needs accountability part. I don't want to let y'all down. I got so much confidence in you and love my church family so much. I don't want to mess up. That encourages me to do the right thing. And I'd say, if you ask yourself, you're the same way. You don't want to let your brothers and sisters in Christ down. We want to encourage one another. I sure don't want to be a stumbling block for anyone. Amen. I better hurry. And the fourth one. He looks up from despair. He looks into the hills. He looks into the house of the Lord. And in chapter 123, he looks to God. 123, he says, "Unto thee lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Unto thee, O that we would look unto God. O that we would cast our eyes upon him, and he would be the first thing on our minds of the morning and the last thing on our minds in the evening. And he would take up most of the day of our thoughts and our devotion and our prayers to him. Oh, that how much better we would live. How much better we could handle situations. How much better the people around us would be." Have you ever worked or been around someone that's got it together? I mean, that's got a relationship with God and has got everything in order. They're just a pleasure to be around. It's just a joy to be around somebody that's, I'm not saying they're perfect, but they've got it together. You know, I've heard it said that a Bible that, talking about the Bible, says one that is coming unraveled usually belongs to somebody that's not. Amen. That's worth saying again. A Bible that's coming unraveled usually belongs to somebody that's not. And when we look to God, when you read the Word of God, when I believe wholeheartedly that these are words right out of God. This is His Word, His divine spoken Word right here that He spoke through prophets, He spoke through the apostles, He spoke to men that were moved upon by the Holy Ghost that wrote them down. I believe it from start to finish. I believe it inside and out. I think it is the infallible, inerrant Word of God. And when we read God's holy word, that it speaks to our hearts, and that we're a lot better person than we are without it. That he will deal with us and challenge us. In Hebrews 12:2, the Bible says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Looking unto Jesus. Looking to the finished work at the cross. I know I'm intrigued every time that you hear Billy Graham. I don't know if you hear a message that he don't mention the cross. The importance of the cross. Folks, we need to have our eyes on the cross. The work that Jesus completed on Mount Calvary. That he is the author and the finisher. And if you're looking at it in your Bible, but if you look at it and want to look it up when you get home, the word "our," O-U-R, is not in the original. It's in italics here. So the original would read, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Our faith has been added into it, but he is the author and the finisher of faith, general, period. The only way that we'll get to heaven is through the author and the finisher of our faith. The Bible also in Hebrews 2 calls him the captain of our salvation. Glory, hallelujah. I got to looking at that a little bit, and I'll tell you something that ought to get us charged up. That word of the captain of our salvation there, and I believe it's Hebrews 2, and that and when he talks about that, it's got a, kind of a double meaning. It's not only the captain of an army, but it's also the prince that's in the palace that's the captain of the army. Woo! Glory, hallelujah. That tells me not only does he have what it takes to win the battle, he's also got the authority to call the battle. He's got the authority and the power to do both. Jesus said in Matthew 28, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. He is the captain. He's the prince of peace and he's the Lord of lords. Glory, hallelujah. The captain of my salvation. Praise his name. Is he the captain of your salvation this morning? In him are you trusting? He's the first and the last example of faith in the confidence of God. He is the one to look to. Don't look to a man to follow and pattern your life after. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. He is the most complete model that can be placed before us. He is the captain of our salvation. I just thought of an old gospel song, "The Old Ship of Zion." Was it one of the verses that said, "On board I see the captain"? Glory, hallelujah. Yes, that ship's going to roll back in here one of these days. And the captain's going to call his bride out of this world. Praise the Lord. Are you one of the number? Are you ready? Have you asked him to forgive you? Have you made him the captain of your salvation? Is he the one you're depending on? One more verse. Matthew 14:30. This is of Peter when he walked on the water. Said, "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me." See, Peter's the only one of them that walked on the water. I know I think maybe we give him too hard of a time, but he did walk on water. He did get out of the boat. But when he started looking elsewhere is when he got in trouble. And it's the same today. When we start casting our eyes and looking other places, we're in for trouble. But I want to encourage you, because we all do it. We've all done it. When Peter said, "Lord, help me," he said in what, 30 minutes? Immediately. Wow. When I mess up, immediately he's there to help me when I call on him. Amen. What a friend. What a Savior. Praise his name. In closing, I want to ask you, where are you looking? Where are you looking this morning? What's your eyes on? What's your trust in? If it's anything other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we're looking the wrong place. We're going to get the wrong answers. Things ain't going to work out. Now we look to Jesus. He'll give us the peace. He'll help us through. Everything ain't going to be perfect, but he will be with us. Amen. Aren't you glad of that? Let's pray. Father, as we come to you this morning, boast on anything except you. I'm a,
I'm a mess. It comes to me. But I'm faithful.